Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Great to be with you. Still plenty ahead of us. I, of course, am with Ryan Girdler, Mark Geyer, Brent Reed. My name is Tony Squires. Sterlo joins us at 2 o'clock, all heading to kick off 3 o'clock Cbus Super Stadium. The Titans taking on the Roosters. Already, as you know, New South Wales 50, looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard over Queensland 6 Wednesday in night in State of Origin 1 in beautiful Townsville. The Sharks 19, the Panthers 18, and Manly 50. Far too good for the Cowboys 18. Right now, though, this. Sorry, I've just noticed that MG has come back for the second hour wearing a Blues beanie.
Yeah.
It's good look.
Fair go.
My bald head is just freezing in this studio.
Oh, yeah.
It's freezing. Turn it up a bit. What's going on?
Well, they sent it to Wendell Saylor, who likes it about 17, 16 degrees.
He does.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, bit of a perspirer. Reedy, what have you got for us? What about, let's start with my boy Dufty. Still obviously no change from the Dragons. What about those, where he would go?
Yeah, look, it obviously came out the news on Thursday that he was touring the Canberra facilities. He met Ricky, looked around the Centre of Excellence, right. You know, hung out in the nation's capital.
Did he go to question time?
I don't know.
Order.
What's that place you go to down there? What's that? Questacom.
Questicom?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
The War Memorial?
Fish Week?
Telecom but, Tower. What did he like about the tour?
I don't know.
I think he liked the mint most.
The mint, yeah.
I bet. Yeah, he really liked that.
Most people do.
But the other club that's been linked with him is obviously the Broncos. But Brisbane called his agent on Wednesday and said, look, thanks but no thanks. So Brisbane are out of the race for Matt Dufty. I don't think they were ever really in it. So Canberra seems to have the inside running there after that tour on Thursday, and obviously it's now down to them to make him an offer. I think they're looking potentially a 2-year deal for Matt Dufty.
But he's a fullback. What about Nico Klukstad? I mean, he's been out. What he moved into centre? You think MG?
Mm. Right. There's a couple of things there with him. One is that obviously he's had neck surgery, so he's got to come back from that. And the other one is that potentially, as MG said, they could look at Nico Klukstad as a centre, and Dufty would play fullback. So that seems the most likely destination for Matt Dufty right now.
How would that work salary cap-wise, though, Rudy? Is Nico Klukstad, when he went over there, what's he been there, 3 years now? So he went over there for an opportunity from the Warriors. Yep. So he obviously wouldn't have been on massive money to start, but I would imagine he's been upgraded since.
Yes, yeah.
And you can't be paying two fullbacks.
I don't imagine he was on premium fullback money, though, okay. Gerds. I reckon he was on good money, but obviously they've got the Curtis Scott situation still to develop as well, so there could be a vacancy in the centres there. And I don't think they have to pay the world for Matt Dufty.
Yeah, because he's not on huge money at the
Dragons. There's not a lot of teams that are chasing him, so I can't imagine they have to pay premium fullback money for Matt Dufty.
What are we talking, maybe 500 or 600?
I'd be surprised they're paying that much, MG.
Okay.
I really would, just because there's a lack of competition. They don't have to... Okay. Push the boat out for him, because I'm not sure there's that many teams that are in for him at the moment. So they might get him at a reasonable freight.
Gee, it just seems odd, given in terms if you're putting yourself in the shop window, he's been doing it very well week after week for the Dragons, hasn't he? All right, what about the news just today? Kenny Mamalo, what's happening?
Yeah, well, it's now happened. Kenny Mamalo's joined the West Tigers. Obviously, the Tigers initially were looking at Dallin Martins Lesniak. They couldn't get a deal done with Canterbury in terms of how much Canterbury would be willing to put in to help that deal come to fruition. They moved on to Kenny Mamalo, whose agent earlier this week started exploring the NRL for opportunities for him. And as I understand it, there's people within the Tigers who've been keen on Kenny Mamalo for not just this year, but for a number of years, they've been interested in Kenny Mamalo. And when that opportunity came up, they jumped. They've knocked that deal over pretty quickly. It's for the rest of this year and the next 2 years. You're looking at a deal probably around the $1 million mark for that 2.5 years. So Kenny will be with them. He told his teammates this morning at the Warriors that he was joining the Tigers. And he'll be there pretty soon, Kenny Mamalo. So good signing for the Tigers.
Any idea what's the catalyst for his move? Is it coach, player? Is it or just he's been in the side, hasn't he? Hasn't been dropped already.
Well, I think he did. He lose his spot recently. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I think he lost
Montoya's been obviously. Yeah. He's come over from the Bulldogs, and today, young Edward Cossie's in there. Cossie's, I'm not sure whether.
So, and I think he just wanted. I think he just wanted to try something else, MG. And obviously, the Tigers have been in the market for a winger. You know, there was obviously the story about Michael Maguire and Adam Hartigan and Justin Pascoe meeting Jermaine Asako a week or so ago, apparently about the New Zealand national team. And then there was obviously the talk about Dallin Watene's Lesniak, and now Kenny Mamalo's coming their radar, and they decided to go with him. So, look, I mean, Kenny's a premium winger when he's in his best form. You know, I think in the last 3 years he's been among the biggest meter eaters in the NRL, and that's what they're looking for. So he seems a great fit for them.
Mm. Right, Tepo Moroa, well, he's had enough of rugby and the Waratahs.
Well, I actually spoke to Tepo yesterday, Tepo Moroa. It's been a few years between. His last game of rugby league was 2 years ago at Amy Park. He actually got knocked out by one of his teammates.
Oh, nice.
So
that put you off.
Yeah. And obviously, about a week ago or so, his agent again started exploring opportunities for him in the NRL because he's obviously been with the Waratahs, hasn't really cracked it in rugby, hasn't really had an opportunity there.
Well, he's had the opportunity to get beaten by 50 or 60 every week.
and basically, it all happened really quickly. He went down, he met Craig Bellamy, sat down with Craig. Craig told him about the Storm's culture and what his expectations are of Tepoi. I think Tepoi liked what he heard. He liked the opportunity to join a club that's in contention to win a competition. It's only for this year at this stage, but Tepoi's back in rugby league now. He wants to stay back in rugby league. So I think his ideal scenario would be he plays well for the Storm the rest of this year. He signs an extension with Melbourne, stays down there for the foreseeable future. And look, for Melbourne, it's a great signing. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it off air. I mean, 3 years ago, four or five years ago, when he was 18, 19, Tepo Moroa, he was going to be the next big thing.
He was, yeah.
He had a few head knocks. And he didn't really kick on. Decide to go to rugby, but if Melbourne can get the best out of him, they're signing a heck of a football player.
Yeah.
All right, Rhea.
I've had a bit to do with him over the years. I've like just watched, he's the same age as my oldest boy and used to play a lot against him in juniors and Winter Pie, you know, obviously a Penrith junior, went to Parramatta. It was a massive shock because, you know, he's always been a union player. But you're right. That's he could turn into like a Dale Finucane down in Melbourne Storm. That, you know what Bellamy does to players who are discarded. He turns them into gold.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Dale Finucane because he's one of those guys Melbourne are desperately trying to keep. But financially, at the moment, I think it's too hard for them. And you know, if he eventually goes, maybe Tepoi becomes there's a longer term deal there for Tepoi.
Dale's got to stop having that steamroller running over his face, hasn't he, really? Because if he's going to have the musical career post rugby league, honestly.
No, he just wear sunglasses. Yeah. Well,
I guess that's what he will do.
Only the long run.
Let's just have a listen to how Coach Paul Green described the pressures and what was going on in the post-game interview.
Yeah, it's a new group in some respects, new coach with me. So what I probably might have let go through the week in terms of execution, I may not have had a bit more of a bond with the team. Bond's probably not the right word, but you know, had I had a bit more experience with them. But as I said, you know, it is what it is. It's about learning from it and making sure we don't let it happen again.
It was interesting, though, the choice of words, and he said, you know, the bond, but then that's not the correct word, but the experience with that team, so he can go in and do whatever, you know, I guess he wants. It's difficult for that first year coach, isn't it?
Absolutely, and there's certain people that just walk into Origin, and if they've played 30 games, or you're Wayne Bennett or Mal Meninga or whatever it may be, and you've just got a certain aura, and you know, people just understand that you know Origin, and Greeny's played a few Origins, but he's probably not at that level, and he's got a lot of club experience, but then he's got a short time to leave his imprint on how these guys play. And I guess on the back of last year, it was even made harder for him because, you know, they won the series, they weren't expected to. So we tried to sort of build on that and let the boys take what they took into game three last year into game one, and it hasn't worked. So he just needs to get that balance right. You know, he's got a reputation of being quite an intense operator. Origin's all about, you know, getting the best players in and allowing them to build, you know, camaraderie, a game plan and all those things, and balancing that out with making sure they have a little bit of fun, don't feel too much pressure. But unfortunately, going into game two after losing game one is a totally different experience than going into game two after winning game one. It is so different because it's on the line. You don't win this one and the game three just becomes the dead rubber that no one wants. So whole lot of pressure in, you know, in those areas from a coaching perspective.
I think they made some pretty obvious mistakes with their preparation. I mean, Kalyn Ponga came into camp, and in hindsight, Kalyn Ponga was never going to be fit. I mean, they really met after, what, 2 days or something?
Yep. Yeah.
Complete waste of time, and I don't know why they bothered. AJ Brimson carried injury through much of the camp. Cam Munster hadn't played in a month. Harry Green hadn't played in a long time. And I think there's some of the issues I reckon Greeny's talking about there, where maybe he took it easy on blokes. Maybe, you know, he made the decision to bring in Ponga. He took it easy on blokes earlier in the week. Brimson came into camp carrying something. And I reckon he'll want, and I spoke to Cam Smith after the game about this, and one thing Cam Smith said was, next camp, you've got to bring in blokes who are ready to go from day one. You can't have blokes coming into camp who aren't ready to train flat out from the day you arrive in camp. And that's what that's one of the mistakes I think Greeny's referring to.
Oh, he would have learned from that. You know, I don't think we can underestimate the significance of going from Wayne Bennett to Paul Green. You know, Paul Green, he played for Queensland. He's you know, coached the Cowboys. But, no, it's a massive, massive difference between Bennett, who got arguably one of the lesser teams of Queensland last year up against, you know, the juggernaut of New South Wales. And only Wayne Bennett could have done that. And I felt for Paul Green, to be honest. And seeing some of the interviews before the Origin was played and after the Origin was played, you get the feeling that the players ran the camp. And when the inmates take over the asylum, you get beat 50-6.
And you can do that if you've got that really core senior group. If Cam were there and Billy was still there and Cooper were there, and, you know, it's a totally different scenario. But, you know, Daly's there, and I know he's got a fair bit of experience, but he hasn't sort of got that same personality as some of those other guys and that reputation. So, yeah, they need to and I think naturally they will be, Tony. Anything, you know, when you go into a game two, you straight away after losing game one, you look at how you prepared and how you performed, and then you take accountability for it, because these guys are the best at what they do. So they'll prepare better. It's a different kettle of fish when we go to Suncorp, regardless of, you know, where we play. Game two, the losing side from game one, it's on the line, isn't it?
Exactly. And I was interested in that point about Suncorp being a different kettle of fish. I mean, clearly the first game was in Queensland, but it was in Townsville, and it worked really in New South Wales' favour in terms of that fast, dry track, which really played into the hands of that speed in that team. Is Suncorp still a daunting thing for this team, brimful of confidence as they head to Brisbane? 100%.
And Queensland going into that first game, and I know it sounds funny to say, but they might have been a little bit complacent, because they probably look at the team they won within game through. They had 15 debutants in last year's series. They had Cole Felt, who'd played over 200 games in this year. So they probably thought what happened in game three was going to transfer to game one, but they've got a better side and it's on home turf.
Yep. Cameron Munster talked about that as well, the injury thing. He will, I mean, with a couple of games, it's a Sunday standalone game, this Origin 2.
Yeah.
Harry Grant also, with a couple of games under their belt, they'll obviously be better.
Well, you hope so. I mean, they can't play much worse than they did. I think that's the worst game I've seen Cameron Munster play in Origin. I can't remember him having a bad game, Cam Munster. And Harry Grant, obviously, you know, wasn't his best. Although I thought Harry, you know, missed a few tackles, but I thought he tried hard at a dummy half and he kept him honest. But, you know, they just got to be better, Tone. They just got to be better, because if they're not better, they'll get pounded again. They've all got to be better.
Yeah, it looked like frustration for Cam Munster. Well, the kick was an absolute example of that. And the result, as we said, New South Wales 50, Queensland 6. All right, Manly 50 over the Cowboys 18, looking at that tie power score. But remember, I think it might have been round 3 after Manly were absolutely flogged by the Dragons. It was their third such loss in a row. Tommy Trbojevic wasn't there, and Supercoach came out and said, you know, we've got our way to dig out of this. We can dig our way out. We are, you know, going to get through. And most people, I think we even did a believe it or not. Reedy certainly said there's no way he didn't believe it, that they could dig their way out. They've done it, and they win 50-18 without Tom Trbojevic.
Did I really say that?
You did. You said there.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Look, don't make me go to the evidence, but you did say
your words were that. I think your words were, they're gone.
Gone.
I think even in the conversation, the spoon came up.
This is
from memory.
Spoon. And you live in the Northern Beaches. God, there you going to go.
I would never say that about Des and Tommy and Jakey. Yeah. Never.
Okay. Well, don't make me. I can go to the tail of the tape, but I'll save it for a moment. But certainly they are back. And how important, though, Gerds, is it for, given that, you know, Tom, everybody says, well, they can't win without him, for him not to have been there and then for them to get the job
Schuster
done?
Schuster was out as well, and he's been, you know, a major contributing factor of the reason that, you know, they score points this year, and they're on the back of Tom not being there, or even when Tom is there, he's another option for him to come up with those creative plays. So, yeah, they were a little bit, it was interesting. There was some footage out a couple of weeks ago of Tommy, and I think he was having to go up a Seco. He made an error defensively in a big game. I think it was against Parramatta, and he was berating him. And it just gives you an indication of what Tom means to that side, not just in relation to when they score points, but just the presence that he brings,
and the
confidence and the standards that he sets, and he holds people to account on both sides of the ball. And I spoke earlier about the way that, you know, he just floats around the back looking for opportunities, but he's the main voice in that side. So Cherry Evans obviously stays on the right. Kieran Foran, who I thought was really good yesterday, probably just goes about his business, doesn't get as many wraps as he probably could, and thought he was really good yesterday. But yeah, Tommy's certainly the guy that makes things happen for the Seagulls, but they can't rely on him as heavily as they have. And there's some other guys in really good form at the moment. Daly was really good yesterday. We spoke about Kieran. Ruben Garrick. Kolawatu.
Marty Tapau. Was outstanding. I thought Marty Tapau led sort of the way, really.
When
they fell behind by, 12-0. And Marty just ripped in.
12-0, that would have been for DCE, even though he's got vast experience. But after what had happened on Wednesday night, behind the goalpost at that point, I thought, this isn't so good. So for them to then turn that around, MG, was a terrific performance.
They did it on the back of the forwards, though. We just mentioned, already mentioned Marty Tapau, and what they were doing early on, they were guilty of doing in that first 15, 10 minutes. They were playing like 5-8s, all the forwards, instead of just getting the ball and ripping in. And as soon as they started getting the ball and just running and getting on their elbows and knees and playing the ball, looks like, you know, DCE and Foran and on the back of that. And even young Carl Lawton was good last night. I think we spoke about the rookies of the year earlier on. Well, we forgot to throw in one young bloke called Ola Kawatu, who scored two tries last night. He's always in the game. I saw him in the second game, I think, of the season against the Bears when we were watching Joseph Suwali. He was against him, and he had his elbow dislocated in a ugly-looking incident. And he's come back from that to be one of the stars of the Manly backline. Curtis Siren, and obviously Joel Thompson left last year. We're always going to wonder who's going to fill them roles. Well, this kid can play. This kid's a really good player. And I know we've got some bold statements to make soon. A little teaser. Mine's about Manly.
It's interesting you mentioned. I can't say his name. Ola Kawatu. Because Siren will be back soon. They've got Josh Schuster to play one side, Ola Kawatu to play the other. It'd be interesting whether Siren comes straight back into the team.
Well, they've got the option of putting Jake back in the front row, I suppose, and, you know, bringing Paseka off the bench. And they've got some. Every team needs options. Every team wants options. The fact that Curtis Sirenden is coming back is good for Manly.
Todd Payton, I don't know how he must have felt, given they did go to that 12-0 lead. Then they were holding close. And then right before half-time, basically just in a matter of a few minutes, three tries come through. I mean, was that technical deficiencies in the defensive unit, or is that just that they clocked off, assumed they were going to get through just behind at halftime, and Manly did the job?
I don't know. It felt like that they just thought it was going to come easy.
Yeah.
They scored those 12 points. They thought, we're having a day out here, and they relaxed. And as soon as they did and Manly got a sniff of that, they responded. So he'd be really disappointed because I think they've won three out of their last four games, had a good win against the Warriors up there, 1 point, the big Val Holmes. So there's a lot of momentum there. They brought that into the game. They started with it. They got the little things right. They built their game well. So when they scored those first couple of tries, it was on the back of some repeat sets and some good ball control. And they were doing all the right things, getting the ball to drink water on those plays on the back of momentum, him converting the opportunity. So it all looked really good. And we called that game, and it was kind of like by how far. And then, you know, they went away. They started trying to play the big play on the last and not play the percentages. And they just all got too excited and forgot then to defend. And there was some interesting stuff done as well with Toddy Payton in the interchange bench. Tom Lolo went off after about 25 minutes, and we didn't see him basically until the game was over. He came back on with about 20 to go, and at that point they were 20 points behind.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if who else was off with him at
Jordan
that time.
Jordan McLean and Cullen Hess.
Yeah, and Hess.
Three of them were on the bench together for
long period.
Over 20 minutes, I think. Oh, I think Cohen Hess has been all right.
He was going good in the middle, but they moved him back onto the edge last night. It didn't work.
I think he's probably had his best year in a while, Cohen Hess, and they moved him to the edge to try and get more to the middle to try and get more out of him. And I thought it was working pretty well, but he was off for an eternity last night, Cohen Hess. I'm just looking at now. He played 55 minutes. Tomalolo played 54, and Jordan McLean played 44. And Tomalolo in particular, I mean, the game just slipped away while he was off the field. And, you know, when I know
it's obviously a game plan.
Well, Toddy's obviously got a reason behind it. He's not doing it for as a whim, but don't you want him on the field when the game's when the game's slipping away? You want to get him back on.
I'd rather wrestle the game back. I'd rather someone in front of me like Shane Wright instead of Tomalolo, with all respect to Shane Wright.
Yeah. Well, at the start of the year, I think it was all about longevity over his career. They've signed him for a long-term deal. But, I mean, these guys at the moment are in the race for the finals position. They're one of those sides that could, you know, potentially fill one of those bottom four sides. So if you need Tomalolo, you need him now, and you need him playing his 70 minutes.
If Todd Payton, of course, was disappointed in the performance, he was probably also disappointed in how thin the walls are at Four Pines Stadium. Have a listen to this.
It was a new combination. You know, Tommy Gilbert hasn't been in the edge back row for a number of weeks, and Tommy's new to the team through a decision to put Justin in the centres instead of the wing, because Javid had more experience as a winger and Justin's had more experience as a centre. And yeah, that's what happens when you've got new combinations, and again, we'll improve.
Sorry, can you answer the question again, please? Because I couldn't hear over the top of Manly celebrating.
War cry.
Well, it's right next door.
Yeah.
There's a wall between you and the Manly dressing room.
But is it true they wait for the opposing coach to go in to start the conference and they...
That'd be dead.
Wayne Cousins there with a stopwatch. Okay, in 5, 4, 3, go.
Very cruel, but deserved celebrations from Manly. 50 points to 18 winners over the Cowboys. Jake Trbojevic joins us right now. G'day, mate.
How you going, guys?
Very well, thank you. How's the body backing up after Wednesday and playing last night?
Feeling all good. Obviously, a couple of wins definitely helps. feeling not too bad.
How do you help lift someone like DCE, obviously, who you've played against on the Wednesday? When you come back in as teammates and want to turn all that around, how'd that go?
He was obviously a bit disappointed with Wednesday, but I think it was just good for him to get out there as quick as possible. And I thought he was outstanding last night, so I'd probably have him in a lot better headspace. Get a bit of confidence back, and I thought he, as I said, played really well, and yeah, as a side, we all played pretty well, so it was a really good night for us.
Jakey, you had an emotional night last night, remembering one of your best ever, Bobby Fulton Bozo, the 175 second mark. That was his playing number. The crowd all applauded. Round of applause was fantastic. What kind of message did Desi say before the game about the great immortal Bobby Fulton, mate?
Yeah, well, obviously, he said there was a lot of emotion in the game for us. He's a massive figure in our club, as you said, our best ever player, such a big influence as a coach, player, and, you know, as an advisor. He's had a big influence on all of our careers. So he just wanted us to honour him with effort, and, you know, I thought we did that. Obviously, we didn't have a great start, but it was just really good that we could get back in the game and put in a performance like that on a night as such, you know, and honour him with a really good performance.
Yeah, we just spoke about the slow start. Jakey, what was all that about?
I don't know, eh? We just sort of didn't come out of the dressing room, you know. They caught us on the hop, and it was 12-0 after 10 minutes, and we really had a bit of a wake-up call, and I just think it was really good how we can turn it around. We got back in our groove. We didn't panic too much, and went into halftime up 28-12, which was really pleasing, and then just continued that in the second half. It was a really good team effort, I think. I think everyone played really well, and just everyone worked really well together.
Now, obviously being an emotional night, and you and Tom had a great relationship with Bozo. Tommy wanted to play. How hard was it for Des to make him sit down?
Yeah, obviously, he always wanted to play, but I think it was a pretty easy decision for Des, you know, with just his history and that sort of thing the last couple of years. And having such a big game on Wednesday, it just wasn't smart for him to play a couple of days later. So it was an easy decision for Des. Obviously disappointing for Tom. Always wants to play any game, and especially a night like that where you're honouring Bozo, but just wasn't to be. I think it would be better for the long run of the season and better for his health overall.
Jake, we've seen during the year how hard you take a loss. Tell us how much better you are after a win. How much better you sleep. How much more you enjoy life.
Mate, life's so much more enjoyable, Reedy. Honestly, I think this week was the best week of my life, to be honest.
How much ammunition, though, does it give you over Tommy when he's sitting out every second week? Do you use that at all?
No, not really, because you see how disappointed it is for him when he's, you know, not out there. It's quite tough at times. You know, the last couple of years have been pretty tough on him, to be honest. So I'm just happy to see him out there consistently and playing really good footy. I think he deserves a bit of good luck, you know, after the last couple of years. So he takes it pretty hard when he's not out there.
Jake, you're speaking of Tom. Just off air, I was showing the guys that famous video when Tommy was taping and you were at beside the lake at the golf course. And Ben, I think Ben pushed you in.
Yeah.
He's obviously playing first grade as well now, Ben. But have you ever got him back for that?
No, I haven't got him back, Reedy. I'm still trying to think of something. I can't think of anything as good, eh? That was a low
day.
Good one.
Did you finish the round?
I wanted to kill him.
Jakey, don't be so angry, mate. That's not you. Come on.
Find it if you haven't looked at it, because it's very, very funny. Were you moving back to Wednesday, just briefly for you, Jake, was it a surprise at all just how well everything clicked for New South Wales?
Oh, yeah, it was. It was really, really special, to be honest. I think, obviously, we had a great side, but it all came together so quickly. You only had 10 days in camp together, and to put it together like that in the first game was really, really exciting. But, you know, it's only the first game. We can't get too ahead of ourselves. You know, I've been in this position before where we've won the first game and lost the series. So, got to keep working hard, and hopefully we can go up to Brisbane and put in a performance like that again.
Curtis Irinen's back soon for you guys. We're just speaking about your win last night and kind of thinking about where everyone's going to fit. Obviously, with Olakau too, having such a fantastic game, not just last night, but he's been good for the last month. It's a good pleasure to have, isn't it? And what do you think of this young Olakau too? I was saying that he was the young kid who got his elbow injured in the New South Wales Cup game in round two. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that was him. Yeah, elbow like fully dislocated.
Yes.
Oh. Didn't look good, and he's come out really well. I thought the thing's been, as you said, outstanding. Like
yeah.
The last month or two, and he's really becoming a force on the edge there. He's a nightmare for halves to tackle him. You know, he's just really good, strong, young player, and he's growing in confidence each week. So it's really, really healthy position to be in, where you've got lots of good players putting their hand up, MG. And it's really, really exciting for us, and hopefully the back end of the year, that really helps us.
Are you at the golf course now, Jakey, are you?
Not at the moment, but I'll be getting out there this weekend, I think.
Hey, Jakey, what about Ben, obviously playing first grade the last few weeks? What's that been like for the family and for you to see your younger brother do what you've done?
Oh, it's really special, Reedy, honestly. Really, really special. It's quite emotional, you know. Very, very proud. The first game where we played Knights was actually quite tough. It was just a you know, long day. I get nervous myself, and then when he's making his first game, I was just really, really nervous. So, but you know, to get the first couple of games out of the way, and I thought last night he did really well in the 20 odd minutes he had, and got a lot of confidence out of it. So it was really, really special night for us, and the family are just also proud.
Sorry, mate, to and fro. Do you want to ask any more questions on Manly, MG?
I just want a quick one on Benny, the brother.
Mm-hmm.
I was at St Mary's about 2 months ago and watching my young bloke play Jersey Flegg, and your young bloke was playing against him, and I can't believe how he's a mixture of you and Tommy. He's Tommy's body with your head. Dead ringer. And I said, this is a hybrid. This kid's a hybrid of both of them. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. He's built similar to Tom, but they've got him playing in the back row, and he's growing in confidence. You know, he probably didn't expect to be in this early, but we've had a few injuries, and it's just really, really exciting.
Oh, good on him,
really
good on him, mate.
Family, yeah.
Good on him.
It's a new creature. It's got the head of a lion and the body of a lion, but a different
Sphinx.
Lion. It's terrific.
But back to Wednesday, Jake. Your role up front, it was a different one than you've been playing previously. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, enjoy it. Any chance you get to play for the Blues, doesn't matter what position, you know. Happy to put my hand up. I've played a bit of front row early in my career, and I've actually played front row for the Blues before, so it's not foreign to me. It's quite tough. I wasn't used to having so many hit-ups in the first 20, but it was really, really enjoyable night, you know, and I think when you have wins like that, honestly, play any position, it's just good fun.
And speaking of good fun, the likes of Jerome Luai, Brian Toto, did you get any selections on the boom box, or did you have to keep well away?
No, they didn't like my music.
What, they don't like Kenny Rogers? Come on, man.
Nah,
what about those boys? What about that new gang coming into camp? It's always exciting to have some new blood in there, but they really look like they left their stamp.
Oh, didn't they? What? And then they just back it up on the field. They're just honestly really, really good guys. Just confident in what they do, but they honestly, they do a lot for other people, you know, out in their hometown, and really good, humble people. They work really hard, and they just back it up on the field, eh? It's honestly, it's been a pleasure to watch when they're playing for Penrith, obviously not when you're versing them, and then getting to play alongside them for the Blues, seeing how good they are. It's actually awesome, eh? Honestly.
It must have been a pretty good dressing shed pre-game, I mean, in those big moments, you also you like to look around and see who you're going out in the field with, but you've got Latrell and you had your brother Tommy, you had Tedesco there. It was a pretty solid outfit.
Yeah, no, it is really nice when you look around. You've got that caliber of players alongside you, and then you've got the blokes like Cleary and Luai and all Yo, who they're just all good players in form who've been winning all year. It's great to have them alongside you. You know, it gives you a lot of confidence. And honestly, it was a great night, and I just hope we can do it again in a couple of weeks.
All right, mate. Well, congratulations on a terrific week, the best week in your life. I love that. I'm sure we'll catch up and chat again soon.
Thanks for having us. Cheers.
The NRL halfway through the season, our awards in a Hollywood glamorous style, obviously. That's showbiz, isn't it? That is showbiz. I don't know if you can match the music. The first awards we'd like to present for the player or players of the year thus far. MG, who are your nominations?
My nominations, obviously, are Nathan Cleary, Tom Trbojevic, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. But I think the surprise packet of the year has been, and I think he comes into calculation as also one of the players who have just been out of the box, is Nicho Hynes from Melbourne Storm.
I
love watching him play. He's a fantastic player, but I think Nathan Cleary and Turbo are a top.
Okay. All right, Brent Reed.
I echo that. I'm going to throw in James Fisher-Harris too. I think James Fisher-Harris has been outstanding for Penrith, and Latrell. I'm going to throw in Latrell. I think Latrell's been great for South. So
he's missed a bit of time, but
he's been fantastic. But particularly James Fisher-Harris, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's coming second or third in the Dally M's as a front rower. That's pretty foreign territory. So, I'm sticking him in there.
Dally M numbers now has gone behind closed doors, hasn't it?
Last week was the last week. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ryan Girdlam?
I think Nathan. Just Tommy, 7 games. Latrell, 8 games. I'm just not sure that they've played enough footy. So I'm going to... James Fisher-Harris. I'm going to throw another one. Brandon Smith.
Jeez.
I think he's had an outstanding year. Yeah. So yeah, they'd be my three.
Okay, love it. All right, our next award is for the rookie or rookies of the year. I'll start with you, Reedy.
I think the rookie of the year didn't play last time. I'm going to go with Josh Schuster. I think he's been outstanding for Manly, Josh Schuster. There's a few others, obviously, in the mix. Sam Walker, Dane Laurie, but... And Dane Laurie in particular. I would have thought Dane Laurie or Josh Schuster for me, rookies of the year.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe Walsh if he plays enough at the back end of the season is a chance, but otherwise I think it's out of those three.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Dane Laurie. I think Dane Laurie's been the rookie of the year so far. Sam Walker's been an eye-catcher, playing a great brand of footy. Reece Walsh, the same thing. And I agree with Schuster. He's a big body and such good hands, but I think that what Dane Laurie's done at a team that's underachieved thus far, but you get the feeling that while he's at fullback, they might overachieve.
All right, don't take the black tie off yet. I move on to the category of the biggest surprise and biggest disappointment. I'm suggesting there's probably two different categories there.
Categories.
If you're the biggest surprise, you could be surprising disappointment.
Surprisingly disappointing. Yeah.
Well, look, I've often heard that about me. That's surprisingly disappointing. MG, what do you have? Two separate categories, surprise and biggest disappointment, please.
My surprise, I think, is Nicho Hynes. I think he just... I honestly didn't think the kid was that good of a player, and I'm sorry for saying that, but he's fantastic. I love how he plays. I love his story. I love the fact now he's found a new home with the Sharks next year. The whole story is awesome. And Matt Burton in the centres is another a surprise for me, how good he adapted and made himself a focal point of Penrith's attack. The biggest disappointment, Canberra and Queensland.
Yep. Hard to argue, really.
Canberra, I thought would be in the top four. I think most people did, but they've had a year of horrors, haven't they?
My biggest disappointment is Queensland, obviously, goes without saying. Mm-hmm. Terrible performance the other night.
The entire state or just the footy team?
just the footy. Mm-hmm. It's a great state, great place.
No, don't
Townsville,
get me wrong.
Fantastic.
Yep.
That's my biggest. Terrible the other night. Devastating as a Maroons fan and a Queenslander. It was extremely disappointing. My biggest surprise, Tony, you're going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
The Dragons.
Yeah.
They're not running last. Who'd have thought? I still could finish there, to be fair, but they're having a go.
Oh, you give with one hand, and you take away with the other.
For the spoon, so yeah. I'm going to go with the Dragons. Okay. I think they're in the eight still.
Yeah, they're
in eight. So
yeah, they're eight, and they've got the Bulldogs on Monday in a game they should win.
They should win that. Yeah.
A blockbuster, I think we're calling it.
Yeah. Can my biggest surprise be my biggest disappointment?
Oh,
certainly.
Okay.
Drum roll.
How about my biggest surprise was the fact that we changed the rules again about 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Probably almost my biggest disappointment as well. Without taking away, obviously, the consideration for the health of the player.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it was a big surprise to me that we went down that path at Magic Round.
Yep.
And disappointment, I would say, I think Newcastle have been disappointing. The Raiders have been disappointing. And I think the Titans have been a touch. I had high expectations for the Titans to build on what they sort of established last year with some quality off-season purchases, and they just haven't gone to that next level. So their three clubs, I think, should have done better.
Does the music make you feel a bit jaunty?
It's a bit weird. It's
kind of strange.
No, I love it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too.
It's very Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, I know that Sterl has already asked if we could have it going through the entire next hour. It would be great. All right, and finally,
what are yours, Tone? What are yours?
I have none. Oh, the bold prediction. I'm the guy here, just holding the cue cards.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm Billy Crystal with no talent. Bold prediction for the rest of the season, Reedy.
Look, this is bold. I'm going to go for Queensland to win the Origin Series.
Oh, come on, mate.
That's not that
someone
bold.
Drug tested
him. Teams,
wow, have you been drinking?
You're 1-0 down. There's two teams.
We lost 50 to 6 or whatever.
Have you been drinking?
That's bold. That's stupid.
That's
lost by.
That's
still in the games.
No, that's my bold prediction.
You can't drink while you're working, you know that.
No, I think we'll come back. We'll win this.
Okay.
My bold prediction is that we find another way to speed the game up in the second half of the season.
Love it.
Maybe one marker.
Just all on fast forward. And MG, bold prediction for the rest of the season.
Manly will make the top four.
Top four?
Manly
will make the top four.
Wow, I like that. That is bold. Toby Rudolph will join us in the next hour. And so will Sterlo. A round of applause for all. Thank you so much, Gerd.
It's been great. Thank you, boys. See you next week.
Satellite Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.